This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. All small business owners find themselves with challenges on a daily basis. For minority business owners, though, there are even additional hurdles to overcome, such as different financial matters, professional development obstacles, and access to the right kinds of advisors and mentors, and especially lack of access to credit. We're going to be talking about some of these challenges and talk about some of the resources that can help African-American business owners succeed in today's financial climate. But it's not just African-American business owners that have these challenges, other minorities as well, including women who could use help in becoming job creators. If you got a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. If you're an African-American small business owner, talk about your journey. Maybe your words will inspire others to also become job creators. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet us at @tprsource. And I need to mention that our phone system is kind of on the fritz today, so we really want to push maybe the Twitter or the email. We'll let you know if the phones start working. We don't know why that suddenly happened. But so our guest this afternoon, we're joined by Renee Watson. She is the director of the Bexar County Small Businesses and Entrepreneurship Department. Bobby Blunt is with us, the fund chair of the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund. And Jenny Barrera, she is the president and CEO of Lyft Fund. And Renee Watson, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here. Can you talk about the overview about why we need to have this conversation today?
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate it. And good afternoon to all your listeners. We are engaged as a county in the primary business of economic development, growing jobs, and establishing all types of businesses throughout the community. Traditionally, when we look at small business, we also think about economic development. So from a large scale, we're interested in women, veterans, all the different segments of the minority community, to include Hispanic-owned business, Native American, African-American, Hispanics, all of the different types that we can get involved in. And part of that is that they are very important to our community, because as those businesses grow, they create tax-paying entities. And Bexar County's primary funding source is taxpayers. So how do we better manage the taxpayer dollar than having all of these businesses having employees and doing goods and services and commodities, not only for the consumers, but directly to that we can buy from or the city or state agencies?
And Bobby Blunt, as the fund chair for the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund, have you heard some of the challenges that many African American small business owners have?
Yes, I definitely have. You know, our organization, the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund, was established as an outreach fund under the San Antonio Area Foundation. And our biggest focus was to build philanthropy within the African American community and to deal with the major challenges in education, health, social services across the board. And as we were doing that, one of the things that we really realized that not only is a big hindrance to philanthropy, but was a really big challenge across the board, was the topic that we're talking about. You know, how do we get more African American businesses successful, engaged across our city, our county, and across the state, and other avenues also. But it's also that the other biggie that we learned is just that lack of capital, as well as that education on how you obtain capital, how you prepare yourself across the board. So that's why when we had the opportunity to engage and to provide the resources that make and help out, we chose this partnership with Lyft Fund. But we're well aware of that and see that as a big problem for achieving philanthropy within the community.
Jenny Barrera at Lyft Fund, president and CEO, and Lyft Fund is a fantastic local resource for anyone looking to start a small business here in town. But talk about this specific area. Why is it so troubling that African-American business owners will have trouble accessing capital at a traditional bank?
Sure. Well, as you pointed out earlier, it's not only African-American, but also minorities and women-owned businesses, right? And so at Lyft Fund, you know, we're a not-for-profit organization that lends money to small businesses that cannot get loans from banks. And so we started back in 1994 and still continue to do this because there's still a need. And so 78% of the population that we serve here in San Antonio is minority. And of that 78, 13% is African American. And so, as you know, in our in the city of San Antonio, it's the African American community is about 7%. So we're helping African American businesses, but not enough.
Right. So let me stop because you're saying numbers, and numbers are great, but it's over the radio. I'm even having trouble kind of imagining exactly. So it sounds like you're saying, even as you are directly trying to help minority-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. Of the businesses that you do help, small business owners that come to you, you're still not seeing very many African Americans.
That's correct. We see African American businesses that want to start and want to be able to provide, get this access to capital, but to your point earlier too, not necessarily ready yet. And that's why we're partnering with the county as well, because as you know, getting access to capital is not just going to the bank or going to Lift Fund and saying, I would like to borrow $15,000. You also have to prove how can you pay back that $15,000. And so having a business plan, having the information on financials and so on is so important. So that's the other aspect that we're doing at Lift Fund, is making sure that that small business person is ready to receive that debt or that loan to be able to start that business or grow that business.
So when we're saying that African Americans are having trouble getting traditional lines of capital from banks, it's not because banks don't like black people, right? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that banks are regulated and they have to follow a certain box for people to come in and state that they qualify for a bank loan. 100% of the people that we serve at Lift Fund are not bankable. So what that means is that either their credit score is very low, because the cutoff at a bank is 680 in terms of your FICO score. The average FICO score of one of the customers that we serve is 580. And we have a 96% repayment rate. So what we've learned is how to mitigate risk. We've also learned that people need to be trained on the correct use of funds. We're reporting back to the credit bureaus the payment history of the small business person to Lift Fund, because ironically, the way that we are able to increase our credit scores is by borrowing money and paying it back on time. And so most of our customers come and take out 2 to 3 loans before they're eligible to graduate from our program and go into the banks. So we actually partner with the banks. You know, banks don't want to say no. They're just regulated and can't make these loans. And they're very small loans as well, right? The average loan that Lift Fund does is about $20,000. Even though we run from $500 up to $500,000, we still really are focusing on that smaller business. And so I think in our minority communities, we've not been taught on how to use money correctly. We've not been taught how to secure and keep our FICO score. We're not taught about the whole financial, you know, field out there, right? So that's part of our job as well, is to level that financial playing field so that they can graduate from our program at Lift Fund and go into the traditional banks.
But in addition to the lack of credit, it's also mentorship.
Correct.
And people who can show you the way in order that small business owners, minority-owned small business owners, can qualify for certain set-asides that we have here in our local government. Is that right?
Okay. I just wanted to jump on that, because that set-aside doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a set-aside. That was struck down a long time ago.
Okay.
There are certain opportunities that businesses are eligible for.
Okay, we'll talk about that. I want to hear more about that. I'm not cutting you off, but I got to hit this break right now. Our phone lines are now working, I'm being told. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about making more business opportunities available to create businesses for African Americans in San Antonio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A 2016 study finds that there are a number of barriers specific to African-American entrepreneurs. What's being done to support black business owners in San Antonio? And our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. We now have that bug worked out, 210-614-8980. And when we were going to break, Renee Watson, director of the Bexar County Small Business and Entrepreneurship Department, you were setting me straight, and I'm glad you did. And I want to get more information about that. I had said that there were maybe some set-asides for minority-owned businesses, and you're telling me ain't no such thing. There's no such thing as a set-aside.
Yeah, because that language, we need to be very careful when we're talking about in the procurement system. The term set-aside is a misnomer that there are certain contracts set aside for only certain ethnic groups, and that is not the case. The procurement process is still open bid, and anyone can pursue those contracts, whether you're a minority, woman-owned business, local, non-local, whatever. It goes to the competitiveness of the process. There are certain entities who have conducted disparity studies that have shown evidence of discrimination, and then they enact remedies, such as the city of San Antonio, where you have points on your contract, and if you include certain women or minority groups in order to be in your competitive process. In the federal system, the term set-aside is for the Alaska Native Corporations, the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. They actually set aside contracts that only certain communities can or certain groups can compete for. So that's the difference in the conversation. And when we try to educate our small business, because so they're not looking for set-asides, they still have to, and that's why these initiatives are so important. You still have to compete, have the best price, best product, best service, or whatever that you're, and have the best employees, whether you're doing business in the private sector or with the public sector.
And the best finance as well, in the have the financial tools to be able to implement that service. And so To Renee's point, there are no set-asides, and so what we're trying to do in our community is make sure that that financial playing field is good across for everyone. You know, and in the minority communities, there hasn't been truly a history of generation over generation businesses being, handed down from generation to generation. Or in our community as well, there are a lot of small businesses start with friends and family money first, and then as the business grows, right? Well, in the low to moderate income level families, there's not that extra cash hanging around from friends and family. And so programs like, in terms of training programs, of access to capital, that is structured to be framed within the financial system so that people know what it means to borrow money and to pay it back on time to then get into the traditional financial institutions.
A lot of people aren't even aware of how much work it is to own your own small business.
That's right.
And so, Bobby, can you talk about that? Bobby Blunt of the fund chair for the San Antonio Area African-American Community Fund, owning a small business. I mean, you're working for yourself, but you're also working almost 24/7.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things surrounding that. I guess one of the very first things, a lot of times when you get into a small business or running a small corporation, you initially come with, I've got an ideal or something I can do, and you begin to focus on that per se, and you think that's the path that's going to carry you through. And you just don't realize, the aspects of building up your capital. How do you do that part? How do you plan for it, et cetera? You don't realize the issues you have to do from an employment sense. How do I hire employees? What do I do with the people aspects and what do I do from a people sense? How do I engage with others? How do I, not only sell myself, but sell my whole corporation across the board? But I think the biggest thing of all that, related to our conversation is, you have your initial budget, et cetera, but when you really come to how to build a very strong financial structure is when a lot of people begin to struggle. Because when the bills start coming in, when you have to start paying things, when you start having insurance type of things, when other things like that occur, that's where the challenges really come in for you for a small business standpoint, not having that experience with trying to deal with those type of matters.
So our listeners, if you are a small business owner, what was the hardest part of getting your business started? We'd love to hear from everyone out there. We could all learn from your experience. What surprised you? Were you just taken aback by how much hard work you had to put in for yourself, the sweat equity? And frequently, if you're the small business owner, you get paid last. And Renee Watson, as the director of the Bexar County Small Business and Entrepreneurship Department, is that frequently something that people are aware of when they decide to start a small business?
Absolutely. Our office just happens to be right next door to the assumed named office or the county clerk, where the first step to opening that business is securing your name or getting your DBA. So the Bexar County process is anywhere under county clerk workhouse leadership, anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 a month of individuals coming through to pull and get their name for their business. So you can imagine what kind of activity that's just happening here in Bexar County. And we're one of 254 counties in the state of Texas. That's a lot of activities. So when we see that, they come into the office, and then what's the next step? usually we ask the question, one, what brought you here? Are you starting or have you been in business? We see a lot of them have already been in business for many, many years, but they went to the bank to do something different with their bank account, and then they asked for that assumed name certificate. Or they didn't have their EIN, the Federal Employee Identification Number. They were using their Social Security number. And with identity theft, we really try to move them to get that EIN for the IRS.gov instead of using your Social Security number. And we're putting a lot of emphasis on that right now as a county, because we know that that is a capacity builder. And then if you're selling some taxable item, make sure that you get your permit from the state comptroller, because at the end of the year, they're going to be coming looking for those sales taxes. So there's a lot to just not starting a business or maybe growing your business, depending on who you're doing business with.
The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you got a question or a comment about starting a small business, particularly we'd like to hear from African Americans, because that's where we're trying to help shore up this lack of parity that we have here in our society, not enough African American business owners. And so why is that something that we need to be looking at, Bobby Blunt?
Yeah, I guess the first thing is, when we look at from our vantage point, the whole community aspects, this is a very critical element. We focus on here in San Antonio across the board on the education of our youth, the social services, et cetera. But the basis of what it really comes down to is, one, you having your own business, running your own business is a very critical success factor that we face within life. And it carries much further than that. Like Janie was talking about a little bit earlier, again, our focus is philanthropy. We as an African-American community cannot get to philanthropy unless we start building our own businesses. Mm-hmm. And then we learn not only how to build our own businesses, but our businesses lead to businesses. If we want to be the Microsofts and others that can do those type of things and spin off and be successful across the board, the basis of it is just knowing how to run a business and be able to execute that part of it. So until we get past that ground level, we really can't reach that pendulum that we want to, that goals that we want to obtain.
So Janie Beretta, President and CEO of Lyft Fund, what kind of businesses are people looking to start?
You know what Renee was talking about, people that have been working for somebody else and all of a sudden they get laid off, right? And so what are they going to do now? So in some cases, people see this as an opportunity. So for example, a gentleman was working for an AC company for many years and got laid off, and he thought, well, maybe I should start my own air conditioning company. And we lent him the money for the van and the equipment, and now he's doing very well. People that were working in the maintenance or janitorial. One of the examples would be Dave O'Neill, who's helping hands. He has a cleaning service here in San Antonio, one of the recipients of the fund that we just started with the help of Bobby's group on the area and the San Antonio Fund, African American Fund. He was our very first recipient. He got a $7,000 loan for working capital to be able to grow his business. And when we were talking to him, he's saying, I want to be the biggest company here in San Antonio, and he's just starting out. And what a great, I guess, also the name of his company, Helping Hands. I mean, it's a great play on words.
Okay, here's going to call her in on the conversation, 210-614-8980. And Ann, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I have a internet online business, and I really want to branch out to opening up a brick-and-mortar type of internet cafe with teas and coffees here in San Antonio. And I just want to get an idea of your suggestions in terms of steps moving from an online business to where I'm, the sole employee and pretty much just still contractors, to a brick-and-mortar business where I'd need mm-hmm. to physically hire employees and all of that. And it's really outside of my expertise. But I'm really interested in doing that, opening up something on the east side that's a sit-down internet cafe.
All right, Ann, thank you for that call. So Janie Beretta from Lyft Fund.
Sure. Specifically when you said, Ann, the east side, there's a great nonprofit on the east side called the San Antonio Growing East, SAGE. And they will actually sit down with you, Ann, and help you decide on location, put together your business plan, what is your cash flow going to look like. And then once all that is in place, then you can come over to Lyft Fund and we can look at that plan and see how we can help on the financial side. The other organization that's here in San Antonio is called Launch SA, and it's located at the public library downtown. And the mission of Launch SA is to be the first stop for small businesses and providing mentorship programs. Every Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, there is a 1 million cup I guess it's session it's called, where small businesses can, with ideas like yourself, Anne, can come and do your pitch to your to peers there. And it's practice, if you will, in getting in front of people to make the ask and telling your story.
The great thing about Anne's call is that it's internet connected, and we want to make sure that people realize we're also talking about tech-based job opportunities here. It's all sorts of jobs, right? You can be an app developer and learn to code up in San Antonio. Great place to develop skills. And before you know it, you are a web entrepreneur, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. And do you see many people like that come through your doors, Renee Watson, asking about that type of businesses?
Absolutely. And I'd also like to give her some feedback. There's a group called the San Antonio Black Women in Business. There's a couple of entrepreneurs that have existing establishments, and you can search for them online. They do a gym, and they have another location on the east side. There will probably be some good synergy as part of those redevelopment activities that's happening out there in a couple of the corridors on the east side. But it's called Black Women in Business, and they have several chapters throughout the state of Texas. But yes, we see those types of businesses that come in, especially in our military community. We also support and we service the service disabled. We have several African-Americans who have come in injured. They're going to have a home-based business. They probably won't have any type of be able to go back to work. And they have certain restrictions because of heat and air conditioning, because of their service injuries that they sustained. And we've come in and we've helped them to get connected with Geekdom and with those type of code up type of opportunities to really look at those online type businesses. And some of them are very creative and they make jewelry, and especially some of the women veterans. There are a couple of women veteran business organizations in our community that will help you to be a part of that. And I know Live Fund has a whole program for veterans.
Right. I just wanted to share with you that we've just opened up. We received a grant to be able to offer veterans a loan at 5% interest, which is a very a nice situation to be in, because now your cash flow is going to be in a better shape because you're not paying having to pay so much for the use of the capital.
And ages, what kind of ages are we talking about? Are we talking about people who are just starting out in their careers or mid-level individuals? Or what's the age, Janie?
All ages. We even have people coming in at 70, 72 years old that are wanting to help with and create a small business. We have as young as 18. But most of them are, most of our customer base is between 35 and 60.
You know, if I can add quickly on the age part, San Antonio is really a wonderful city for small businesses. That's why we really are having this particular discussion. When you look at some of the other elements, you talk about military, but cybersecurity, you wouldn't believe how many small businesses have opportunity there, and that takes folks that are just coming in as well as more experienced folks. When you look at the health industry and what we have in the government here, et cetera, there's a very, very big opportunity for small businesses within the community of San Antonio that I haven't seen in other cities.
And do you feel that same way, Renee?
Oh, absolutely. And because of where we're located, the international, and with the discussions right now with them, with the federal administration looking at renegotiating NAFTA, there's a lot of opportunities. We're looking at the USAID projects. We're looking at the different types of projects that they'll be doing over in Cuba and some of the things at the State Department. Matter of fact, at our next event we're having on December 6th, we're having the small business folks from the federal agencies coming in from the State Department and USAID.
So you feel like you're in a position where you say, oh my God, there's so many opportunities out here.
Yes, come and get them. Come to my office, call us, get on our website. We buy, as a county, we have over 4,000 employees. Then we have connections and partnerships with over 119 public agencies just here in Bexar County. And then there are 274 state agencies, colleges, and universities. Then there's 26 federal agencies. And then there's the private sector. So every time something happens at Bexar County, we want Bexar County and local, and the Commissioner's Court have been very clear to be able to get those contracts and keep that money local.
All right, we're taking a break here. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Got some more phone calls to get on the air as we talk about how African-American entrepreneurs can power the economy. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. One of the biggest problems for starting a business is the lack of capital. But if you don't know how to start a business, getting that capital is going to be very difficult. For African Americans trying to start their own business, they don't really haven't had that experience. They haven't seen how it's done before. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of experience that needs to come into play. There's partnerships here in town that can help you make that jump. One of them is Lyft Fund. Janie Badetta is here. She's the president and CEO of Lyft Fund. Renee Watson is here. She's the director of the Bexar County Small Business and Entrepreneurship Department. She's also a great contact to have. Bobby Blunt is here. He's the fund chair for the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund. And our phone lines are open if you've got a question or a comment for our guest. The number is 210-614-8980. And Mark is on the line. And Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Say, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I've been in small business in San Antonio for about 10 years. A couple of big things. I did get a small business loan when I first got started, paid that off over time. But I am real familiar with the African American community. My business, I support and service about half my customers are African American females, actually, in the transportation business. And so a couple of things you've already said, but I'd like to just kind of pound away at is the idea that you get somebody that to build a income statement or a business plan and project that out for a year so that you get a real feel for what you're going to do and find out what your expenses are. Expenses can be pretty detailed. So you should be able to get your expenses. Revenue becomes a bigger problem because you're going to have to market that and find out where you're going to find your business. And a lot of people think, I talk to people who start landscaping companies and T-shirt companies and companies that are, you know, where there's a lot of competition. So you have to find some unique and figure out how you're going to sell your products. The other thing I've seen over the years is people start a business and they go buy a brand new truck. I would avoid all of that. You have to be really cost effective. I drove a small, inexpensive car and carried my shirt and tie with me everywhere in case I made a sales call or I had to go see the bankers. So keep your expenses low as possible. Find someone. If you are not, a lot of times these personalities for people like myself, I am a big, a lot of ideas, a lot of work hard, all that thing, but I needed an accountant or I need someone, not even a formal accountant, but just somebody who's good at that to keep track of things for you. Otherwise, the next thing you know, you're 6 months down the road, and just like you said earlier, your expenses are way out of line.
All right, Mark, thank you for those. Those are great points. A lot of people nodding their heads in here. I think the accountant one is the one that's really, you know, you think you can do it yourself, but really it helps to get a professional. Janie Barretta?
That's absolutely correct. I always say surround yourself with people that are smarter than yourself and that complement you so that if you're the salesperson on the team, then find that accountant or that legal person to be able to support your business. And that's what I think so great about San Antonio is that people really do want to help. I'm referring back to Launch SA. We have so many volunteers there that are accountants and attorneys. People that can help you with your payroll, people that can help you in marketing, and they really want you to succeed. And so you get your start there, and eventually they want your business as well, but they'll help you at volunteer basis until you're up on your feet.
And any other reaction to that call, Renee Watson?
Oh, absolutely. I'd like to, I would love if you would call me and we would recruit you for our Mentor Protege program. Because we do sessions one-on-one with small business to develop what we call job cost accounting. Because there's a difference between having your CPA do your books at the end of the year and you actually having financials where you're tracking and then have a WIP schedule in the construction industry where you know job cost, cost to complete, how much money are you actually making a profit. I had a gentleman come in just this week. We were talking about janitorial types of business. Yes, he got the contract. Yes, he was very successful. But after 2 months, he was upside down already. in spending because they hadn't done the forecast in the financials, and even something as easy as in Excel versus QuickBooks. So there's a lot of different types of programs and trainings out there, and we'd love to have those who are experienced individuals to be partners with that program. We actually partner with the Associated General Contractors, and many of our larger general construction firms, our mentors are already serving, and we really appreciate their efforts every day.
So the first check you got to cut when you start your own business is the reality check.
Absolutely.
You got to make sure you know what you're getting into.
Absolutely. You might even have a check to cut because you're going to make the payments direct deposit. They're going to come right at you. Everything is electronic now. So when you see that check to yourself, you need to take a picture of it, frame it, and then put it right back into the business called owner's equity. So if you can't operate without that, because if there's so slow pay, especially if you're doing business with a government agency, there may be a slow pay or a delay pay. So your payroll is a little bit different. So you can't cash it just because you have the money in the bank.
That's right.
Bobby?
Yeah, let me add one other element, too. One of the things I do, I have from my lawyer side of the house, is when I help establish new businesses, I help individuals start corporations, nonprofits, et cetera. And one of the key other aspects, in addition to that accountant that was pointing out, is that legal aspect is very, very important, too. In understanding what's the difference between being an independent contractor, if I have employers, what are the ramifications, employment-wise, IRS-wide, et cetera, as well as some other elements, too. So there's a lot of homework that needs to really be done up front, and getting the right people on board in addition to mentors is real critical for you to be successful.
Okay, another caller. This is Maria. Hi, Maria. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have more of a comment than a question. One of the things, all of these entities that you have on the panel are excellent. I'm familiar with all of them. I'm actually a Thrift Fund client. But once you get the education, once you get the capital, one of the things that I like to tell people is utilize those businesses. We can get all that, we can start, but if the community doesn't utilize the business, we're still fighting for our dream. We see them go out and have or do business with others when they can build within their community. Economic development, I truly believe, starts at home. So what I would reach out and say to the African-American community is utilize those businesses within your community. Don't utilize them thinking you're about to get the hookup. You can get it free the same way any other business has to run. I have bills. I have vendors. I have things that I have to take care of. Come to me knowing that you're going to receive quality services just as any other business owner would offer you. So that's my comment. All of these people are great, and I'm familiar with all of them. But having the community support is even a bigger picture once you get out there and get on the roll.
Maria, thank you for that great call. A lot of people shook their heads when we talked about the hookup. Beware of the hookup. What does that mean, Renee?
Well, it's like I said earlier, it's like most businesses go out of business within 6 to 18 months because the family gets tired of coming and purchasing from you. And there's a lack of networking, a lack of developing your market, a lack of growing your market and doing other types of business. Not what you think is your friends and families and the people that you know. You really got to get outside of your comfort zone. Take advantage of the programs that we have. And sometimes you're just not in the right business. You might have a great idea, but you're oversaturated in some types of goods, commodities, or services, or construction that you think that you fit, but you don't have the best price or the best product, even though that you think that you do. So when we look at the types of businesses and services that are provided, they're few and far between. We know that there's about 900 active African-American-owned businesses in San Antonio. And when we segment what they provide, the funnel gets smaller and smaller as we get the contracts get larger and larger. So our program is to help to build that so we can kind of make it a square, not just a funnel. So we have more availability with capacity to do different types of work and what they sell in goods commodities.
And so about 900 African-American-owned businesses in San Antonio, do they tend to sort of skew towards one or two industries?
Yes, the data has shown that there's more goods and services. Many of them don't have employees. They're single types of businesses. They're doing networking. They're doing website development, a lot of different. They don't sell what most public entities buy. And when we're looking at developing, and you know, these initiatives have been around 30, 40 years in different communities. depending on the types of business that we're talking about. Startup, you have to be able to provide and compete just like anyone else. So how do we help you to get there is what we're enacting services and programs to help you build your capacity.
Also, many of these businesses have limited bonding experience. What does that mean?
Because there's a difference between bonding and insurance. And there's a lot of miscommunication and misinformation in the community that everybody has to provide an insurance certificate, but not everybody has to be bonded, depending on what level of participation you have on public contracting. Because if you are under a prime contractor, they could be carrying the bond and they put you on their bond opportunity. There's a lot of depends on what you're selling. But if you have a goods, commodities, and services, or you're touching food, that's an insurance. That's not a bond. So you might think you can't do business because somebody told you or you heard in the community that you have to be bonded. And that may not be correct. You have to call Janie and her team over at Lift Fund, and they'll give you on the right path. Or you call UTSA Small Business Development Center, and they'll get you on the right path.
They could come to this workshop that we're having.
Yeah, okay, talk about that workshop. Plug that workshop.
So on Thursday, August 24th, from 5:30 to 7:30, we're having a workshop that's going to speak specifically to accounting and control, cost control, financial statements, cash flow, and working capital. And that's going to be located at our Lift Fund office at our campus on West Martin Street. We are about 2 miles from downtown on West Martin. We have a beautiful campus there, brand new, a couple of years old, that we have our Lending and Learning Center and also our Conference Center, which is the location of this workshop. So we're hoping to bring as many contractors in, small businesses, even if you haven't started your business but are thinking about it, or an existing business and want to learn more. This is open to the general public, and it's in the evening, hopefully when people can attend.
Okay, we'll go over those details again before the end of the program. Taking another break, we've got some more callers to talk to. Our number is 210-614-8980. Got a question about starting a small business? We've got a panel here to help you out. 210-614-8980. Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the barriers specific to African-American entrepreneurs, what's being done to support Black business owners in San Antonio and other minority business owners, including women here in San Antonio. Renee Watson is with us. She's with the Bexar County Small Business and Entrepreneurship Department. Bobby Blunt, the fund chair of the San Antonio Area African-American Community Fund. And Janie Barreto, she is the president and CEO of Lift Fund. And we have Jordan on the line. Jordan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I had a two-part question to kind of piggyback what Renee and Mark were explaining earlier is once I have my EIN registered with the state comptroller's office, what should be my next step to make sure that I'm having good bookkeeping and accounting and that I'm paying taxes correctly? And if Renee could tell us a little bit more about how you earn the DBE certification.
Okay.
All right, Jordan. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And so, Renee.
So let's take question one. It's always a question of what is it that you sell is the next step. Because if you're goods, commodities, and services, once you get your the DBA, EIN, if you have a home-based business, there's very limited things that you have to do. If you're moving into a physical location, there's a lot that you have to do. And then if you anticipate employees, I'll let him have some other comments. On the DBE, that's a disadvantaged business enterprise certification, and that's a certification designation for you to do business with the federal government. It's really the Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit, and Federal Aviation. They have certain programs, like in Bexar County, we are considered what we call a pass-through. All of the road and bridges you see that throughout the state of Texas, the U.S. Department of Transportation provides money to TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation, to be able to build those roads and bridges. If you qualify, depending on what you sell, there are certain programs that we enact to make sure that you have that participation. So if you are DBE certified or if you are eligible for DBE certification, we'd love to visit with you to connect you with the Texas Sterlings, the Zacharys, the Sun Constructions, and those that build our heavy highways here in Texas.
Okay, we had a question from our email. It says, y'all mentioning that most of the east side of San Antonio has the SAGE, you know, help them. Is there anything like that for the west side or the south side or even the central part of San Antonio?
Yes, there is. The West Side Development Corporation is the organization on the west side, and they have a website that you can go to and get information. On the South Side, the strong partner down there is the South Side Chamber of Commerce. They do a lot of work with small businesses. And actually the North Chamber of Commerce, the North Side Chamber of Commerce, also is a very strong in the small business community.
And I just want to add, there are 22 chambers throughout Bexar County. So depending on what you sell, what your targeted audience is, and you can go in and look at all of them. There's the Hispanic Chamber, the West Chamber. If you just Google Chambers of Commerce in San Antonio, there's over 100 industry and trade groups. So it depends on what you sell. There's a lot of activity, and we all work together to help to grow and expand our community, build business.
And earlier you just mentioned that UTSA had some resources.
Yeah, the University of Texas at San Antonio Small Business Development Center, their Procurement Technical Assistance Center, and they're located at the downtown campus. All of their services are free. They'll provide you with a free counselor. You can sit down with them, and then they will help you, as well as LiftFund, to put those packages together to submit for lenders. But they also have training on QuickBooks, how to open up a restaurant. They have night and weekend courses as well.
There's also the Women's Business Center that obviously not only helps women, men as well, but it's called Women's Business Center. It's a sponsorship with LiftFund and the SBA, and they're located at the Central Library as well.
All right, another caller. This is Daryl. Hey, Daryl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing? Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, sir. You're good.
I am an artist. I take wood that I find, and I make furniture, art, and decor out of it. And I was wondering, I don't see many people in my niche, and was wondering if there was a place where I can get some guidance on turning that niche into something full-time.
Right. Absolutely. On the City of San Antonio's website, they have what we call an artist registry for the community. When Bexar County built the home for the San Antonio Spurs, the AT&T Center, one of the commitments from Mr. Peter Holt was to look at the local crafts and the artistry, such as maybe yourself. And when you go into the arena, you'll see some of the tables that are wood carved. You see some very exotic types of things that were done by the local artisans here in San Antonio. Whenever those public structures built, there's different types of art programs. As you may or may not know, that when we on the San Antonio River Project, they just commissioned hundreds of artists, and Bexar County has a program where they were looking at on that project to put local artists and representatives. So if you go to the San Antonio River Authority website, you'll see some information, but especially for the City of San Antonio's Artistry Registry.
Now, there was a special grant or a rotating loan chunk of cash that was given to or awarded to LiftFund. Is that right? What was that about?
LiftFund is a not-for-profit organization, so we receive grants and we also receive investments to be able to do the work that we do. And so recently we've received grants for veterans. I spoke about an interest rate buy-down program for veterans, so we're able to offer veterans an interest rate of 5%. We also...
Does that mean if they have a previous loan, they can come in and...
Just coming in and they want to start a business. And by the way, 40% of our portfolio is startups. So a lot of banks are not able to help startups because the cash flow issue that obviously is there. And so we nurture them for the first 2 years until they're ready to be able to go to the bank for that bank loan. So LiftFund, over the years, year over year, has had also contracts with the City of San Antonio, where the City of San Antonio last year bought the interest rate down to 0%. And so that money went very quickly, but we're hoping to be able to continue that program in this next fiscal year.
Yeah, and then if I may add the other news that we're very pleased with that we just announced a couple of weeks ago, the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund made a donation to LiftFund, and it's part of their Dream Fund initiative. And in this particular case, is what the Dream Fund allows, it's only for African-American businesses to apply for loans. In addition to having the financial support that was given through this particular grant, there's other elements we talked about too, and that includes education components, et cetera, that we thought was critical to be able to support the African-American businesses. So that's the other announcement that we're very pleased, is the Dream Fund for African-American businesses to apply. And that's just a starting point. There'll be other agencies and others that have opportunities too.
So, Bobby, do you think that the more people need to know what's going on here? It seems like there's a lot of potential.
There's no doubt on that at all. And I mean, that's, like I said, we're just one very small organization that's trying to help out in the African American Community Fund itself. And there's other agencies doing things. And our biggest hope is that we as institutions, not individuals, but we as institutions come together to have this impact that we want to have within the community, get the word out of what's going on, support each other, more education and more support across the board for our businesses that are up and coming and that need that type of support. So
you need to continue
the conversation.
To underscore the fact, you know, we are a not-for-profit organization, but people think that we're a bank. And banks, what they have is, you know, our deposits that are sitting in the bank, and that's what is used to be able to make loans. Well, we don't have depositors, so we rely on philanthropy and also good stewardship of people when they invest money in Lift Fund, that we're going to get that money back to be able to pay back the investors. So our business model has been debt and equity, right? Investors, we use money that we borrow to lend out. And in this particular case, with the gift from the foundation, or the fund, I should say, that we're able then, Lift Fund has its own equity now to lend out. So is that grant that came in is being lent out to David and with his Helping Hands business, that principal comes back into the fund and is able to help another African-American business. So it is in perpetuity a revolving loan fund using the gift that we received out in the community.
So do we know what the accelerator effect is for every dollar that goes into Lift Fund?
Oh, yes, sir. Actually, we did an economic impact study. Dr. Steve Niven did it for us, and we gave him data from the years 2010 to 2015. And so for every dollar that Lift Fund puts out in a loan in the hands of this hardworking small business owner, it brings back $13 in a return on investment. Also, during that study, we asked him to how many jobs are these small businesses creating? And again, it was only during that six-year time frame. And the new jobs that were created here in San Antonio were over 2,000 new jobs. Of that, from the African community was almost 300 new jobs from these small businesses. Also, new tax revenue that these small businesses bring into San Antonio. $10 million in new taxes were brought in by the small businesses that we helped during those 6 years. And that's one of the things, too, in terms of education. Small business owners are being told by their accountant, you know, it's not good to write down that you're making money because you're going to have to pay taxes. So they take that tax return to a bank and say, I'd like to borrow money. Well, the bank looks at it and says, you're not making any money. How can we let you borrow? So that's part of the education that we also place in with our customers, to be able to say it is good to pay taxes
because that means you're
being, you're being profitable.
All right, so we're almost out of time, so I want to go over that workshop again, because that sounds like a great opportunity for anyone who is thinking about starting a business or expanding their business that they're going now with.
This workshop will be held on Thursday, August the 24th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Lift Fund office, which is located at 2007 West Martin Street. It is a couple of miles from downtown on West Martin. The topics will be accounting and cost control, financial statements, cash flow, and working capital.
Renee Watson over at the Bexar County Small Business and Entrepreneurship Department. I mean, you sound like a wealth of information.
And
you're a tremendous asset.
Thank you. And I just want to add one initiative that we have for the entire community. One of the things, as you know, that Bexar County is in the business of criminal justice. So we also have initiatives for starting a business for the formerly incarcerated. So we have different types of individuals that come through who need a job, can't find one, but have great ideas and great skills, and they become entrepreneurs. So we connect them with organizations, again, for the formerly incarcerated. We want them to be called as well, for them to call us as well to be a part of what we're trying to do, because we want to cut down that recidivism to come back and being full active in the community. And that's everywhere, all throughout the community.
That sounds great. And Bobby Blunt, thank you so much for coming in here, Fund Chair of the San Antonio Area African American Community Fund. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.